Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Alrighty, everybody in the automotive world, you have tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. And to all you mothers celebrating Father's Day, as we are, happy Father's Day. And to Chris Switzer, who's my man in the across the sound over here. How are you doing, Chris?
Doing well, my brother. How are you on this fine Father's Day? How was the breakfast?
Oh, my breakfast was good. Let me tell you something. My wife and I bought something at Stu Leonard's. They make a loaf of bread that's called croissant bread.
Ooh. So
if you're a fan of croissants, imagine a loaf of bread made out of it that you have to slice yourself. Oh, my word, off the shelf, just off the hook.
Madonna mia. You know, it doesn't... I can only say this to you, and I can say this to you affectionately, my longtime radio colleague. I hope it was as good as the kielbasa that you shared one time with me.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's
you have quite a kielbasa there, sir.
Right, that's in a whole... that's the other ethnicity. I don't know what ethnicity... croissants are. They're probably English, I guess.
Yeah, probably Anglo.
I love it.
Some sort of Anglo.
So you've tuned in once again to Motormouth Radio. You can give us a call today at 516-256-9510. We're scheduled to have Mr. Carl Anthony from automoblog.net on with us in a little while.
Automoblog.
Right?
Yes.
He's got some new news to talk to us about. And, Chris, is there any special groups or people we should be honoring besides the mothers and fathers today? What's going on?
Very funny you should bring that up, Ray. It is always part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And, you know, today is no different on this fine Sunday. It's Father's Day. And, of course, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If your family lets you go out and work on your car on Father's Day, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, ladies and gentlemen. That is right. So if you get up off the chair from this fine breakfast that they just served you and you go, I'm going to go work on a car today, and they all go, bye.
Yeah.
You are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Thank you so much.
Nice. Do you have any plans of working on a car today?
You betcha.
No.
And this is the funny thing, because I've had a week of craziness, a week of technology, and I could never get up and go out to the car, and we're all week. So everything that we're going to be talking about, I've completely committed to memory.
Right.
So today I am going to do a long-awaited job on my little K-vertible. My little Chrysler LeBaron desperately needs front brakes, and it also needs an emergency brake adjustment. It's got the discs in the front and the drums in the rear. I can take the emergency brake handle that is conveniently between the two front seats and pull it straight up. Goes right to 12 o'clock, and that car will still roll out of the driveway, which makes me berserk. I cannot stand that. You ever notice when you're actually looking at a classic car, or you look at any car, and you can see the emergency brake cable? It's always hanging. It's just this drooping thing that's just hanging between the wheels. And that's not a phallic funny there. That's just it's one of those. And I'm like, God, just go fix it. How hard is it? You know, I fixed the cable on the 300. When was it? It was when I was doing the brakes, basically back in the spring, and I forgot to adjust it. It was the only thing I did. And I actually did this Sunday after the show last week. I backed the 300 out of the garage and I just pushed the emergency brake down. It's a foot pedal and I pushed it down and I put it in reverse and the car rolled out of the driveway.
How long did you have to wait for the dock master to give you clearance? Did it set up buoys in the driveway?
Like
they're a flag old, man.
There's a guy with a bell. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wait. We got a bell.
You have a bell. As Ray goes and gets... Ray, the master of the visual, now has an audio. Oh, look at a cowbell. Give us more of that cowbell, Ray. Ray.
Actually, this was gifted to us from our caller, Tom from Massapequa, on December 2018, where he said, he sent Joe and I each one of these and said, more cowbells. I was playing songs that had cowbell in them.
That's hysterical. But yeah, that's what the dock master does. He just gives me the hand signs and I just wade the car out of the garage.
So let me ask you this. What type of, we know what the Chrysler has, that's a drum brake car, but what type of rear adjuster mechanism is on the other convertible?
You know, the 90s cars, and I know you and I have discussed this in the past, the 90s vehicles do not have an auxiliary adjuster. They don't have the star where you can access it from the the axle side the drum side.
There's no drum star. Brakes.
It is drum in the rear, yes.
Okay.
But there's no access. It was like that little Sunbird that I had no access plate on the back. Right. You had to pull the drum off, adjust the brakes accordingly, and then slide the drum back on. And I think we discussed this in the past. It was because people were adjusting their brakes too tightly?
Yeah, you know.
On the rim?
The one Mazda we have that has rear drum, it's the same thing. And what the manufacturer did is they give you a spec. They want that drum. They want enough clearance so they can freewheel. I mean, we talked about this in the past. I remember in shop class back in high school, Mr. Mancuso taught us that you put the wheel back on the car, put on a couple lugs quick, and if you give the wheel a nice turn, it should go like one revolution, maybe
one revolution.
And that was it.
Right.
And by today's standards, that's way too tight. It's way too
tight.
They almost want it to freewheel when you just give it a spin.
Yeah, well, that the slave cylinder in there just doesn't open those brakes when you get on a foot pedal. It doesn't really move a heck of a lot, so you want it a little snug.
So let's I agree, but let's backwards engineer this. Let's think about this.
It's the only an hour show, Ray. It's only an hour show.
I think I have it down. The engineers want you to. They're looking at the CAFE regulations and the fuel mileage, that all plays into that.
Yes.
Having the brakes a little tighter plays into our own safety. So
yes.
They don't.
Exactly. It's very true. It's the exact thing. They don't want that drag. They don't want the engine working any harder. They don't want to decrease the gas mileage, mile per gallon. They don't want to do that. So they'll sacrifice your safety for a free rolling vehicle, basically.
And I'll tell you this, when I put the brakes in my Pontiac, as a resto mod, I used a Wilwood master cylinder, and they told me I needed to put in this residual pressure valve, which is a 20 PSI valve. And I said, you know, why? And then I found out why. It actually keeps pressure, a certain amount of pressure to the rear brakes, like ready to go so that the brakes don't have a big lag, the drum brakes in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, well, why do I need that? I've never used that before. And I did finally get it out of somebody that their master cylinders can be used for disc or drum, four-wheel disc or drum. And discs don't use that valve.
Right.
It goes through a metering valve and a combination valve, whatever the car has.
Right.
But the drum brakes need it. And a factory master that's made for disc drum has the residual pressure valve built in.
Oh.
So now it all made sense.
Got it.
So that's how that works. But yeah, now like you with your car and the Mazda, it's that parking brake handle that you would, and there's, you know, the 10 millimeter nut that you go down through the console with and
right
from that. Yeah.
That funny thing. And I'm the type of, what would you say, brake adjuster that I like when you pull on the emergency brake between the seats and it goes up maybe like an inch and a half, like click, click. That's it.
The service manual, they give you a spec. And my Mazda said they give it to me in clicks. They'll say like 4 to 5 clicks.
Right. Right. 4 to 5 clicks is my limit. Five clicks is my limit. Yeah.
Who was it? You know, I think it might have been Mike at the shop who said to me just the other day about a car with maybe it would have to be his Mustang because he said, yeah, it's too many clicks. And it was either him or his buddy Nick. I forget which one it was. I think it was Mike. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, you just got to go in there, make a little adjustment, and, you know, no biggie.
And I try to adjust from the wheel and not from the 10 millimeter adjustment screw at the base of the emergency brake handle. I try and just go right for the wheel itself. But no, if there's an incredible amount of slack on the cable, yeah, you have to go with that nut down between the seats. But most of the time there isn't. And when I installed the cable in the 300, I was able to run it well. And what I find extraordinary is that even in the late 60s, there was an emphasis on putting this together so it never comes apart. And there was so many press nuts and configurables. It wasn't just a simple nut and bolt to reattach the cable, swing it through the firewall, back down, and run it to the back of the car. There was just so many, attachments that needed to happen that it was extraordinary the way it was put together, but it was still done well. I still did it well. But when I got into the car, I put my finger on the cable and I pulled down on it like it was a clothesline. I went, oh, this is not good. Right. So I had to do the adjustment, not from the wheel, but from that nut. But the nut in that car, where in the newer cars, it's between the seats, on that car, it's just ahead of the differential. So it gets to the differential and then branches off and goes to each wheel.
Got
and
it.
it's at that Y connection where the nut is. And that's I'm
like
under
old
there.
School. Yeah, like on my Pontiac, the cable comes down from the pedal that's in the car.
Right.
Travels out and then hits this little, it's actually, like you said, it's a Y adapter.
Yes.
Metal that has another cable that goes back to the two wheels. And that has a threaded adjuster with a nut.
That's where I was at.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because when we rolled the car off the flatbed when I first purchased it and we rolled it, the flatbed driver handed it to me. He says, I think you're going to need this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need this.
Have you looked at the rear brakes on that car? Have you inspected them?
On the little 93? No, I can't get the drum off.
You need a tool that I bought at English Town.
What?
I bought a drum puller.
Oh, yeah. I may have to. This is what breaks my heart. I don't want to spray any lubricant on the threads in fear of getting any lubricant on the brake shoes.
Right.
So I'm like having consternation. I'm trying to tap it with the plastic hammer.
No, you need a ball peen. and I'll tell you this, you can probably rent that tool from a local auto parts store or they'll lend it to you. Because I used to borrow mine from Colvin before I went and bought one. Right. But it looks like some lubricant must have slipped on the door. The handle opened and in flew our guest for today, Mr. Carl Anthony.
Hey, Carl.
Put on that microphone.
How are you, my brother?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hi, Carl, what's happening with you?
Hey, it's good to be here. Happy Father's Day to everybody in Motormouth Radio Land.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day as well. So,
So what have I missed, guys? What's new?
No, we're just talking about adjusting parking brakes on Chris's cars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, a little bit of maintenance.
I have a theory, and I wanted to bring this up to Carl.
Okay.
I have a theory, and I want to expound on this a little bit because it perplexes me to this day. This week, I have that old Chrysler back there.
Okay.
And this is something, Ray, I think we touched on this earlier in the program many, many years ago. Sometimes you can get in your carbureted vehicle and start it up. Run, okay? And now it runs bad. You rev it up. Plum, 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 plum. Feed a little bit more gas into it. And it still gives you the. here's what I found out. I learned this many, many years ago. Take it out of park, put it into drive, put your foot on the brake first, then put it into drive, then feed gas. And not like Ray does, where he's leaving two tracks of rubber and filling the garage with smoke, just to blip it. Vroom, 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 vroom. That's all. Yeah. Put it back into park. The car runs better.
All right. All right, Einstein. I got one for you.
Why?
Because I'm going through that with my Fiat Spider.
Okay.
Now, I've been futzing with the carburetor again. So what do I do? The car's got a 5-speed.
Right.
Right.
It's Italian. It's Italian. No, it's got to be American and carbureted.
Right. Yeah.
But what if it's got a 4-speed
and an automatic transmission?
What you're doing is loading the system by engaging the automatic transmission, therefore changing the vacuum signal to that carburetor, and that's
okay. That's because I got in the Chrysler, I started it up on a Saturday, let it run, shut it off, and then like I started it up the next day, which never happens, right? Because I'll let the car run, and then it won't run for another 3 weeks. So I got in the car the next day, hit the key, and it went da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do now? I said, the old trick. Put my foot on the brake, dumped it into drive, threw it back in the park, ran like a champ.
I have a theory. Well, I think, first of all, if you started the car and it ran at a lopey idle, probably the choke was open. It didn't set.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or it was too far closed. One or the other. It's like that electrical. Is it electrical or fuel? Well, they both give you the same, the same symptoms.
Symptoms, yeah.
So the thing to do next is, before you do that, take the air cleaner off, hit the throttle once to set the choke and see if it sets and where it sets. And then that's what I would look at.
On that wacky Holley carburetor I have on that thing. Yeah.
Right. Holley 600, right. And I don't know what type of choke mechanism you have. I don't remember if it was electric or if it was a stove type.
No, it's a block of wood.
Right.
It's the simple, simplest you can get.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But it's the stove. Yes, sir.
I seem to remember, so my dad had an old Chevy truck that had a carburetor in it. I seem to remember as a kid him doing very similar things of, you got to give it gas, you got to do something with the transmission. I mean, and then he got an 87 Silverado after that, and it had fuel injection at the time. It had 305 with fuel injection, and he raved about fuel injection because because then you just start it up and go. But I seem to remember him doing all sorts of tricks like that with that old Chevy pickup of his, especially during the winter, where it would do that, and then it would die, and he'd be like, I didn't do whatever I was supposed to do long enough, And so that was like, I remember asking dad the difference, and he's like, well, that's because there's a carburetor, and he's like, in this new pickup we got, he's like, it's fuel injection, so there is no carburetor, and but I remember dad doing, like I said, all kinds of stuff like that to make that carbureted pickup work.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that you do like the dance sitting right in the driver's seat. You're like pumping the pedal like 90,000 times, and you're doing this jump as you're pumping the pedal.
And then when the weather changed, you went from like summer to spring, spring to fall, fall to winter. That whole dance had to change again. Every time I had a Holley carburetor, like when I had an SU carburetor on my motorcycle, I had to retune it as the weather changed. Like if it was dry in the morning but humid at night, I'd have to retune that carburetor.
But that's because you're insane.
Yeah, the Holley is very sensitive, yeah.
But what is crazy today, and this is what's crazy about the new system, so you look at independent variable cam timing and direct injection, every wintertime we always get asked, do I need to let my car warm up? The general answer is not really. No. You know what I mean? The best way with the new systems is to you want to generate heat for the engine, just get it moving. And so the general consensus has gone from let your car warm up to, really pretty much with the new systems, you can just jump right in and drive. And it's quite a departure because I was always used to, again, dad's pickup sat outside. So when you went out and you cleaned off the snow, you fired it, and it took a while for the heat to circulate and stuff.
Sure.
But, That's new. That's new even for me. So generally we tell people, you know, you don't really need to, you know, for your comfort, if you want your cabin to heat up for the, but like when I sold Ford trucks, so this is 10 years ago, the Super Duty trucks had an option called rapid heat. That was literally just the option. And wow. it was exactly what it said it was. It was you'd start the truck up and literally it would, you know, it was just, it was an advanced heating system in those trucks. It's called rapid heat. And actually wow. in the Midwest, Ford made most of that available just for free as no charge. So you would see like rapid heat package and then behind it, it was NC, no charge.
What was
so,
the mechanism in place that did that?
I'm trying to remember now. I'm trying to remember.
Well,
it was,
you know, while you think of that, I know I worked on a Toyota.
So it was, yeah, go ahead though.
Back in the 90s, a friend brought me another friend's Toyota. It was a fairly new Celica.
Yeah.
It wanted like belts done around, and it was only a few years old. And I worked on it. It was all, you know, new. First time I saw an oil filter that went down into the, straight into the engine. I was like, oh my God. I said, that's going to make a freaking mess. And of course it didn't, you know, because the drain's back. But that car also, it was colder weather, and I had to drive it around and test it, and it had like instantaneous heat. And I said, geez, this is fantastic. How'd they do that? I think they took it off right after the exhaust manifold is what they did.
Supplemental electrical heater. Supplemental cab heater is what it is.
CH.
Yep, self-regulating rapid heat supplemental cab heater. And I do remember that from when I was telling them. That was 10 years ago.
That was an option that they...
Well, it technically, yes, it was an option, but because I lived in South Dakota, we were considered a Midwest state, and we were considered the Minneapolis region for Ford. And Ford at that time had made rapid heat, that package, standard and free for no charge for all Midwestern states. So it technically was an upgrade, but it was given for free to all of the states at the time that had winter. And so this is when... So there was the 6.0. This is when there was the 6.4 is when they started doing this. So there was a 6.0 and then there was the 6.7 power stroke. And there was that interim twin turbo engine they had, the 6.4 that was just around for a couple of years. If memory serves me right, they started doing with that. And then they just made them they made them free, no charge across the board when the 6.7 power stroke came out and the biodiesel came out and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, but it was, I mean, you would fire up those, you would let the glow plug cycle, which would hardly take any time at all. And then you'd fire up and that cabin be warm within, you know, a few minutes. You know,
I would want to have that here, you know, in the coast. We get cold winters, you know.
Right. So, you know, if you're talking about like carbureted vehicles and stuff, and like I said, I remember Dad doing the dance and doing the thing, like, you know. And just how much it has changed.
You know? Oh yeah,
yes.
And even today, when you read the articles, like I have done about modernizing, putting fuel injection on a hot rod or a muscle car, the one thing that a lot of people tout is, oh, we're going to get such great gas mileage. You will get better gas mileage, sure. But it's not monumental. The biggest thing you get is cold start.
Yep.
Yeah. And drivability. That's it. That's the number one thing.
Yes.
And yeah, fuel mileage can increase if other factors are in place, but it really is that cold start.
For sure. And it's the same with turbocharging an engine. Yes, technically fuel economy can increase, and it does, if you keep your foot out of it. That's the problem, you know? So it's like you have this extra boost of power that it's, you know, so again, it's, do they get better gas mileage? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. In theory, but there's a lot of things that go into that. How much weight is in the vehicle? So if you're talking a turbocharged SUV, a smaller crossover, but you have luggage and people in there and everything, then it ain't, the fuel economy ain't going to happen.
This is funny. Back around the late 80s, early 90s, it was a friend's father. I was working on his car, and it was a Chevy with a two barrel and, you know, a 350. And he was complaining, you know, he wanted to get a little better gas mileage because of the gas prices. I said, well, you know, I said, if we go from a two-barrel to a four-barrel, go to a quadrajet, you can probably get better gas mileage. How am I going to do that with a four-barrel? It's two, four. I said, no, your two-barrel has two big primaries. I used to remember what they measured. I don't now.
Right.
the primaries on a quadrant jet are noticeably, significantly smaller than those two barrels. The secondaries are noticeably larger. And I talked them into it. I got the parts, intake, the manifold. Yeah, the intake manifold, the carburetor, the linkage, everything associated with it. Did the swap, drove the car. He loved it. But then he came back. I saw him in a month or so, and he was complaining how his mileage was the same, if not worse. Right. I said, well, let's go for a drive.
Yes.
And, of course, we took off, and he took off normal, and then he wanted to change lanes, and he hit it.
Yeah.
One barrel open.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, pull over. I'm like, I know what it is. Oh, you can hear a problem? Like, no, I can see a problem. It's called your right foot.
Yes.
And then once I explained it to him, stay out of the go juice.
I got to tell you, I have driven a handful of new vehicles this year. Luckily, even with COVID-19, automakers have kept their press fleets going. And if I drive reasonable, 60 miles an hour, gentle braking, by the way, gentle steering, and I drive, I am always city highway combined above what the window sticker says. Above it doesn't matter. And I had opportunity to drive Volkswagens this year, Hyundai's, Genesis, which is the luxury brand of Hyundai, Toyotas and Lexuses alike, SUVs and cars. As long as you are gentle, braking, acceleration, you're not driving 70, 80, you're driving 80 miles an hour. And every vehicle, regardless of platform, style, type, above the window sticker, everything. Now, not drastically. Sometimes only a mile, a gallon or so, but I'm always generally above the window sticker. So how you drive and brake makes a huge difference on fuel efficiency.
Absolutely.
More so than anything, I think.
Yeah.
And
I always wondered, was it really Lexuses or Lexi? Well, it was like, our language expert isn't with us right now, so he can't correct me, but I wonder.
Lexuses.
Yeah, I Lexuses. Like right. Taurus. What about, what's the plural of Taurus?
Tauri.
But that's kind of what I'm saying. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, Focus. Ford Focuses.
Right, Focus.
Okay.
Right. Well, I know they don't like, they don't like calling that a mice.
Mice. Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Right, not a mouse, right. Not a mouse on your computer.
Right. Maybe it's like sheep, where it's, it's singular and plural at the same time. It's just Lexus. It's just, see your Lexus's dealers.
These are
too many X's, too many S's.
These are the things we ponder on Motor Mouth Radio.
Exactly. We're not talking about cars.
Yeah, people. So if somebody asks me, do we have any intelligent conversations on this show? I'll go, yeah.
No. Well, let's try an intelligent conversation on the phone. And let's say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths and Carl Anthony. Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good.
Who's this?
Good question. From West Hempstead. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Quick question. When you were discussing earlier about not letting the car warm up with the newer system, now, say it's wintertime and the car's been sitting all night, 8, 9, 10 hours.
Okay.
And the oil has dripped down into the oil pan, and basically all the internal parts have very little or maybe no lubricant on them. So isn't it best to always let the car warm up, especially in the wintertime, so that it eliminates premature engine damage and wear and tear due to lack of lubrication?
I think the reason why automakers say this, and here's why, when they give this advice to consumers, the assumption is that it's a brand new vehicle and it has a synthetic oil in it from the factory, and a consumer will continue to use synthetic oil or a zero weight oil. And so there's no wax in the oil, so it goes right to the top of the engine when it fires up. I think the assumption is with the new cars, you are running their factory recommended oil, which is at very minimum a semi-synthetic. Now for a conventional oil, it's even against my logic of how I grew up of always letting a vehicle warm up, but it's a lot of these things are cut and dry for automakers. It's very, look, we have this system. This is how we designed it. This is the oil that we're running, and this is exactly what it can do. You can fire it up and you can drive it. So I would agree with you that you should still let it warm up and you should still let everything cycle through, all the vital fluids cycle through. I think that is why they say it, right or wrong, because they're assuming it's a synthetic underneath the hood.
Well, let me ask you this, and I have my own thought on this too, but when you say warm up, how warm is warm up for you?
For me?
Like full temperature on the gauge, or like what do you...
What's yeah, your... it's not. It's probably not full temperature. It's I would do enough to get warm inside. So I would do enough to get warm, more comfortable, to get heat. See, so I will start it up, and then I'll clear away the snow and the ice and everything. And that, and during that process, then I'll get in, I'll warm up, take my gloves off. I'm not full temperature. I'm probably a quarter of the way there to full engine temperature.
Well, in that, you're more like Chris and my wife because you like the heat. I look at it, I like to go by either one of two things. If the car is an oil pressure gauge like mine do, I want to see full oil pressure.
Right.
And then give it a couple seconds and I'm good to go. As far as warm up, I go until maybe the temperature gauge just starts to move. You know, the thermostat's nowhere near open yet, but just starts to move.
Right.
And, you know, Steve, to answer your question, although the upper parts of the engine aren't bathed in oil, they have been bathed in oil and they're seasoned in oil. So they're not, unless you have oil starvation, if you have a thick oil in the car where it's going to take a while to get it up there, like my Fiat that has 2050 in it.
Right.
You know, even a 1030 or certainly a 520, that stuff flows pretty easy, especially when it's a little older. So, and the industry stuff I've read says they were trying to cut back, like they were trying to cut back on the amount of oil changes and the oil change interval. They also say that they recommended cutting back that warm up time.
Right. And some of it's a marketing thing too. So yes, there's the engineering and design, but it's marketing as in, you know, look at how convenient it is. You can get in your car, you can start it up, no fuss, no muss, and you just take off and drive. And that's the convenience factor. So like all wheel drive, you don't have to push a button, you don't have to touch it. It does everything intuitively. So, you know, from a marketing standpoint, the quicker you can get somebody in the car and get them moving, the better it is for convenience. So then engineering is tasked with, okay, make that happen. You know, make this car, you know, devise an oil, devise a variable valve timing system, a direct injection system, devise a powertrain that can literally start up and you're on your way, you know.
Steve, thanks for the call.
Okay, guys, great.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope that answers your question,
hope
Steve.
Hope that helped you too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still with you though. It's weird even for me, Steve. And like I said, because I'm from that old school too.
Mm-hmm. But so is the show.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet, Steve. Thanks. Take care.
Take care. Bye bye.
Alrighty.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
516-256-9510. And it's funny, just to kind of encapsulate, I think what you guys are trying to go with, in my fuel injected vehicles, I will start the car up and let it run in high idle and then just wait for the idle to drop. And it usually takes like a minute and a half. Once it gets down past below 1,000 RPMs, then I know it's safe to drop it into gear and go. That's usually my dictum. But
I'll tell you what, Mr. Dictum, why don't you tell us the honor group of the hour again? Because we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. We're a few minutes late, but we'll take care of some business.
All righty. The honor group of the hour today is for all you fathers out there on Father's Day. If your family lets you go and work on your car on Father's Day, well, guess what? You're part of the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. Because when you have your breakfast and you get up out of that chair and go, I think I'm just going to go detail my car. I think I'm just going to go sit in it and do nothing. And the family goes, get out of my face. Well, then you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Thank you so much.
All righty. Very good. Sage words of advice. So we are going to take this break, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and our special guest today, Mr. Carl Anthony, helping us celebrate on Father's Day. On 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All righty, and we are back on Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino with Chris Switzer and Mr. Carl Anthony. On the line, you can get us at 516-256-9510. Check us out on the web, motormouthradio.com. We're also on the same name on Twitter and the Faccia Bruta, where we like to play around. And on Instagram, which is Joe's favorite, it's Real
Underscore.
Motormouth
Radio, where we put pictures of the stuff we do during the week, the trouble we try to get in and out of, and you can follow along.
And let's clarify, because Joe's not here, but Joe always says we don't take pictures of our food. I love that. Love that when he says that.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Right. What's up, guys?
Hey, Vic.
What's up, Vic?
I got a big echo. How come?
Well,
we're in a gymnasium.
Because you're going through miles and miles of internet cabling to make this call actually happen.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm adjusting your levels as we speak. So go ahead.
Liberty, yeah.
Make sure I get a bigger string.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We have a huge string. If you knew the connections that we had to go through to make this show work today, woof, yeah. It's mind-boggling.
Is that like Jersey or something like that? Or you got to go through cousin in Jersey or something.
We're
like
going
that.
Over the bridge. We're going down. Oh, yeah. We're going everywhere. It's ridiculous.
It's a mess. Yes, it is truly a technological wonder and a snarl of cable. So here's some of the cable right here. It's
but Vic, you deal with old stuff, so you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's up with the projects?
Well, what's up with the project is I had that operation a few weeks ago, so I just went and looked at them.
Okay, good enough. Did that
yeah, yep.
Do you still does your phone still have a text plan on it?
Yeah, but I don't know how to do it.
Okay, because I did send you a get well text and I didn't hear back from you, so
a couple months ago.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, oh no, you texted me, yes, I remember that. Yeah. I got the firewall all creco'd in, so now I just gotta weld it and grind the weld and bondo it and get it ready for painting. You know, the color match the firewall to the car, so we don't know the color yet. So that's that. And I got my new steering rack and my new radiator support. So when I'm allowed to lift stuff and all again, I can put the front end back in the car.
Right.
So.
What kind of car
right
do you
now,
have?
No. It's a 46 Chevy Coupe with a 3.5-inch chop.
Okay. Yeah, gorgeous.
That's one of the fleet.
Yeah.
When you know, 50 years of project, 49 years of life.
Right. Yeah.
When will you be back on your feet? Yep. When will you be able to work again on that?
Well, I had a double hernia operation last week, so
okay,
we're gonna be a little bit. I got my body man doing it, and another friend of mine is gonna French the headlights for me. A couple of people helped me out to make things a little bit easier.
Sure.
Got my motor, got my tranny, rear end and front end have already been done a while. So,
right.
Take the dash and put the gauges in. Slowly but surely.
Takes a village.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, Ray, you just said that Ray, you said Willwood had a 20-pound residual pressure valve?
After I said that, I rethought it because I know that there's maybe there's probably a 2-pound valve.
Yeah.
It might have been times 10.
And... Yeah.
But there's a few of them. There's a couple.
Yeah, because the disc takes one, the drum takes another. But usually I thought it was like 10 pounds. I don't
it
know.
Goes in the
it's
drum brake. Yeah. It goes, I think it's a 2-5. Yeah. Maybe I have a 10. It goes in the rear line. And that's exactly because the discs want full pressure. Correct.
Right, right. Yeah, you can put them in the front too. But, you know.
Right. But if you have an aftermarket, if you have a factory, if you have an OEM master, that valve is built in, so.
Right, right. Your car in color yet?
It is in color, yes. And that has
not
nothing to do with car testing.
Right, it's not glorious black and white anymore.
No.
Right.
I started putting it together last week, and let me tell you, you want to talk about nerve-wracking. To start putting a car back together. I mean, because one slip of the ratchet, one slip of a wrench, and it's like, you'd be in a world of hurt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was never a big fan. But yeah, it's coming along. I'm ordering more parts. I'm trying to deal with bumper chrome, which I haven't really resolved yet. AMD is looking like who I might go with.
Yeah. We were talking, you were talking about that on Thursday, Ray.
I talk about it. Anybody who listens, Paul,
Yeah. Thursday night, you were talking about that.
Yeah,
the bumper chrome.
Yeah,
anybody. Would
I know a lot of people use Desert Dogs.
I haven't heard of them.
They're good chrome.
They're probably out in Arizona.
Muscle Car Ray uses them.
Oh, he didn't tell me about them. I asked him.
Yeah.
All right.
I know he was using them.
So okay.
Maybe he's not anymore, but he is. He was. He was. Now he is with a Pontiac, so you got to be perfect.
Right.
So, I'm just sitting around looking at my projects. The kids all have something to do today, so that's that. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, man. Okay?
Yeah. Same to you.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, good talking to you, Vic. Get well soon, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Talk to you
all right,
later.
You bet.
Talk to you soon.
Yep, see you later, bud.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 516-256-9510 is the phone number. Write it down. That's the phone number to get hold of us here.
Right.
And Ray, I've been enjoying the Twitter updates of your projects, by the way. So.
But yeah, I've been trying to keep them coming. Yo, in the beginning, there was, when they're doing body work, it's kind of a redundant thing. If you've seen one panel be sanded, you've seen them all. So I was trying not to flood it with redundancy, but just whenever there was a change.
Right. It's fun. It's fun to retweet because we always tell our followers, there's two studios that the Motormouth crew works in. You know, there's the radio studio or this impromptu studio that we have now. Right. and then the garage. The garage is the other studio.
This is it. So I'd rather be in my garage. That's my
dad. Yeah.
Back to the phones. Let's go back to the fun. Let's go back to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Mr. Anthony and gentlemen.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, gentlemen? Bob from Aqua Center. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you, too.
Happy Father's Day, Bob. It's the first time we've been called gentlemen, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We're not used to that. I look around.
Bob calls a lot of talk programs, so he's mistaken hours for a gentleman.
Thank you, Bob. It's very kind of you.
How are you, my brother?
All good, gentlemen. All good here. Just wanted to call and say hey.
Yeah.
And two points of past programming. After you had the Armor All commercial, I went to the garage and I mixed the Armor All with the STP and put it into the squeeze gun.
Oh, no. I hope you're like chasing cockroaches with it or something.
Yeah.
That's spraying it on your car.
Wow.
I heard you. Yeah, that was pretty good. I said, you know what? All I need now is for Tom to call.
Right. Massapequa, right.
Exactly.
I always let the cars warm up, and I'm going to sign off by saying have a great week and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. You bet, same Bob. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Happy Be Father's safe, Day.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 516-256-9510. There's phone number.
Yes. Someone wanted to add, I should have asked Vic about it. We have a new article on the website in our Legends Lost series. Bernie Schacker, who passed away, the Long Island chassis builder and legend. If you like to read about old historic drag racing, It's kind of like the bookend piece to what you might see on an audible blog site.
Yeah.
Check it out on our website, motormouthradio.com. You will enjoy it for sure. And we are asking for some help with more submissions to that article. So,
yeah, and I don't know, Carl, if you were aware of the last week's show, I was lamenting about Armorall, which I always do.
Okay.
And how you can use it as maybe like a cooking grease or something like that.
Yep.
Keep your hash browns from slipping off the plate or whatever. Yep. But we were singing the praises of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's like duct tape. It's universal, you know.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's absolutely universal.
But you never use Armor All on your car.
Right.
You use it on something else.
Right. When I was a kid, I used to use it on my bike.
Oh yeah.
Seriously. Like my bike looked awesome, you know.
I hope you didn't use it on your seat.
Yeah.
You'd be like, go right off.
Right off. That would land on my head. That would explain a lot today, you know.
Yeah.
Later, right? But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you talk about like some of your dad's you know, quirks and features.
Yep.
And my dad was the same way with Armorall. He Armorall'd everything.
Yep.
And I swear, after I got out of his car, I had to go wash my clothes. I mean, it was everywhere.
Yep. Yep.
It got everywhere. And there was that stuff called Son of a Gun, that STP.
Oh yeah.
And he used to use it on the vinyl top on the Getty Seville, you know what I mean.
Right.
And
God,
he would use it on the
windshield.
Oh. And that's what it did. It would run down the windshield, and it would make these streaks, and it would drive the windshield wipers crazy because they would. This is definitely a noise. One of the classic Motor Mouth Radio sound effects is when the windshield wipers hit some sort of top protectant. So it's like dug 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 bum 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 dug 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 bum 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 bum. And he would be driving along like everything's fine. I need therapy at this point.
Yeah,
I'm like, stop it! Stop! Just let the rainwater hit the windshield. Stop!
And here's the thing, Chris. You know you're a car guy when your family gets you gift baskets of Armorall and Turtle Wax every year for Christmas. There was a stretch there in the early 2000s, like about 15, 16, 17 years ago. Armorall had in a wooden box like this Christmas holiday pack. It had tire foam in it. It had the glass cleaner in it. It had the wheel cleaner. It was like six or seven things in a big wooden box, and it was a holiday edition. And every year I got the same one. I got the 2001 edition, the 2002 edition, the 2003 edition.
I got three of them too.
Right. And just because it's like, oh, well, what do we get Carl for Christmas? I don't know. Get him a car thing. So get him stuff to clean his pickup, or, you know, and of course, car hoodies and car shirts. Like,
Let me ask you, Carl, did you keep all those? And you too, Chris, or did you pass them on to other people?
Sold them on eBay.
Really?
never even unwrapped them.
Right.
Sold them on some other father. Here, happy birthday, whatever it is.
Right. And I ended up using it. I ripped it open and used the tire foam and the shine and everything.
Wow.
I was, you know, but it just, but every year, I mean, it never fails. I'll get a shirt. I'll get something to clean my vehicle. I'll get a mug. It's always a car thing. And that's how you know when it's the middle of winter, it's Christmas time, winter in Michigan, and they give you stuff to clean. They give you wheel cleaner. You know you're a car guy because you can't use it for another 4 months. You know?
Yeah. Right. They give you the California duster. Big red,
right,
whatever it is that you wipe over the hood of your car.
I'm like, you know, you get socks, underwear, and the California duster for Christmas. And when you're a little older, you're like, hey, that's a pretty good haul, you know. And maybe I got a gift card to, you know, Subway or something, and it's all the better, or, you know. But yeah, you get. But I'm like, that's one Christmas gift I'll never lose, though.
He was like so
that.
Right.
That is what. Yep. But,
was,
oh yeah.
Hit it right on the head.
Armorall is miracle stuff, man. You use that forever. But again, my dad was the same way. That's how I ended up using it on my bike as a kid, because we had an, you know, we put the you know, whoever the children were of Armorall, we put them through college. I mean, you know,
so, it's the truth. It's the truth. And it has been, it is like you say, it's a miracle liquid, but never on your car. Don't
never
put it on
your car. Never on your car.
Yep. It'll make you crazy. Yep. But yeah. And Ray always makes fun of me because on the convertibles I had at the time, I had a white canvas convertible top on my Buick.
Yeah.
And I used to make this soap that I used to call Mother Switzer's convertible top soap. And I think I used every single cleaner in the house.
Yes.
I was putting turpentine in there and naphthalene. And whatever. If you put the brush in there, the brush would disappear into the suds. it was awful. But I had to clean a white top that way because I used to park the car outside. And New York winters were brutal. So that was one of those things. And Ray gave me a bottle one time that had skull and crossbones on it. Put the Mother Switzer's convertible top soap in that. And
I'll tell you something, you know, I would actually a few people, but Joe's in particular, when I will talk and we'll come up with some kind of a cleaning issue. And either one of us will say, get the Mother Switzers.
Mother Switzers.
Yeah. If we have to take like mold off of something or chrome off of something or, you know, rust or just light dust.
Is Mother Switzer's the official sponsor of Motor Mouth Radio?
He hasn't given us a dime, so I don't know.
Right.
Speaking of that, Carl, if people wanted to advertise on automoblog.net, do you take advertising on your site?
Yes, we do. And it's all custom made and it's all custom built. So we do a lot of sponsored editorial content. We have found you can sell advertising packages and that works, but we have a very custom approach to it. So, they would just contact our site just through the contact link. All of that gets forwarded to me and I can work with you for custom advertising and custom content. You know, and we've worked with everybody from big brands, from eBay to Advance Auto Parts to Zipcar, to smaller startup companies. You know, there's a small company we work with called Diamond Auto Sense. They make a brand of air fresheners. They're based in California. So we will work with anybody, but yes, you can advertise, but it's all custom built. We will create nice content for you based on what you need.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's great.
Yeah, hopefully Mother Switzer's will be the newest supporter of Automoblog because we use it for everything, you know?
Oh boy.
We got enchiladas in the oven and that pan is greased with Mother Switzer's.
Right. Yeah, it reminds me of course, Christmas Vacation, you know, where the I forget what the name of the solvent was that Clark used on the bottom of his sled,
right?
Like a Teflon based cooking surface stuff.
Yes. Yeah, and the stuff when he threw a spackle bucket like you wouldn't believe. Yeah,
right. Mother Switzer sounds like a real thing though. It sounds like something you would have bought, you know, in the 1950s or whatever, you know. Just, you know, the elixir for the home, Mother Switzer's, you know.
Well, and I tell you this, not to go down that dastardly path on this show, but, you know, we do. And if history will bear us out on this, it'll probably be the next brand to be banished like Aunt Jemima syrup.
Right.
Because
right.
I've seen the picture of Mother Switzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Ooh.
but did it work cleaning your Buick?
Yes, it did. See? Yes, it did. It
just took like Aunt Jemima works on my pancakes. Beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the problem was you had to re-wax the car because it would take the wax off the finish.
And if you were really brutal with it, you had to repaint the car.
Okay, so there were some bugs with the initial solution and the prototype.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a few people lost some pain on some cars, but you know, I mean,
overall, we always prefaced with, well, the chemicals are still being worked out. You know, the mixing, it's not like, you know, the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe or anything like that. But we always took suggestions.
How creative us car guys get though when it comes to our cars and our babies, when it comes to you know, how creative we'll get to take care of them. So, you know, it's funny, but it's true. I mean, car guys do that.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we're getting close to the end of the show. Carl, please pass out any information how people can get in touch with you and find the entities that you're involved with. So that they going to motormouthradio.com, which also has a link.
Absolutely, yes. So I will share that article that you talked about, so I'll go find that. But you can find us on Twitter, just at Automoblog. We always interact on Twitter, and then you can find us in person, automoblog.net, and that's the key part, .net. We started the site in 06, so we were an older site. .nets were big back then. Yeah. But if you just go to Google and type in Automoblog, AUTOMOBLOG, we'll come right up. You can interact with us on Twitter. If you have any questions about the car buying process or anything, all those emails get forwarded to me. I respond to everyone. So if you have questions on stuff about buying a car, please reach out to us. We're here to help you.
Right, right. Very good. Great.
Excellent. Very cool.
Yeah. I will say we don't have a guest booked right now for next week. That doesn't mean that's not going to happen, because in our world, things happen sometimes fast and at the last minute.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Call is usually a last minute addition.
Yeah, it was. And this time, Ray, you asked me on Thursday night, which is really advance notice for us when you think about it.
Right.
That's advance notice.
Well, you got smart. You started hanging around on Thursday night. So.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, by the way, I need a guest. Hey, what do you do?
Right. Yeah, Carl Anthony, the go-to guest.
Yeah, always. Always.
It's always a good show. That's for sure.
And you know what? We appreciate the support, and everybody out there listening in Motormouth Radio Land, we appreciate all the support to Automoblog, and we're proud and honored to be part of this community and to just play in this corner of the sandbox. So, you know, we're grateful to be here.
Right. Well, we're grateful to have you. Thank you, Carl. It's really been, it's been extraordinary, and I love it. I love to see how it all works together. And like Ray says, you know, we're all over the country, all doing the same things. Everybody's doing the same things.
And
it's just a matter of all sitting down and talking to one another and comparing notes and, you know, having a cup of Armor All and.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Larry Webster said it best in his book last year, Never Stop Driving, which is just that, never stop driving. The automobile, you know, the culture of the automobile is strong, and that is our shared passion. That's what unites us. The love for the automobile is alive and well and will continue to be.
And gentlemen, with that, we're going to wrap and get the heck out of here, because Kim is waiting to come in with Thunder Road. Carl, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Chris, what do we always tell everybody?
Don't follow us home.
All righty. We are for Chris Woodson, Ray Guarino, for Carl Anthony today. Ray Guarino signing off Motormouth Radio 90.3 WHPC. We'll see you next week.
Bye.